Right, thank you very much. We're going to talk a little bit about arsenic uptake by rice. And many of you may be aware that rice is globally contaminated by arsenic. In some locations, particularly places like Bangladesh, this is because of, in part, arsenic-contaminated irrigation water. But in reality, most soils do contain some natural level of arsenic. For most crops, this is not really a too much of a problem because most crops are grown aerobically under non-flooded conditions. And so the arsenic is in the form of arsenate, which has high affinity for iron oxides in the soil. And so this keeps the arsenic from being available to the plant. But in many places where we grow rice, you're actually flooding the rice for sizable portions of the growing period. And when you flood the rice, there's usually enough organic carbon around, and microbial activities lower the redox to at least iron-reducing conditions. Under iron-reducing conditions, you're reductively dissolving the sorbent for the arsenate and thereby freeing some of your arsenic. You're also reductively reducing the arsenate to arsenite, which is a more mobile form of arsenic. That allows the plant, the rice plant in particular, to take up more arsenic. At the same time, you also have some microbial activities resulting in methylation of the arsenic. And so you can have monomethyl or dimethyl arsenic acid, shown in the picture there. Importantly, these methylated arsenic species are thought to be less toxic than the inorganic arsenic species, like arsenite and arsenate. Also, these methylated species readily end up in rice grains. So that's one piece of the puzzle why rice takes up so much arsenic. Another piece of the puzzle is that rice readily translates silicon. Silicon is one of those beneficial elements for most crops, but when it comes to rice, rice really has a hard time surviving without silicon. And rice takes up silicon in the form of silicic acid. This is a neutral molecule at reasonable pHs. And rice has developed over the years this fairly efficient silicon transport pathway. So in the roots, you can see there on the left, the silicon coming in through the rhizosphere pore water. At the exodermis, apoplastic transport is arrested, and silicon transporters LSI1 and LSI2 load and unload the silicon symplastically. Same thing happens at the endodermis. And so the reason why this helps with the arsenite uptake is that arsenite looks quite a bit like silicic acid. They're both neutral molecules, they're about the same size. And so the arsenite is able to enter the rice roots through the silicon transport pathway. And so this combination of flooding the rice and rice taking up large quantities of silicon enables rice to accumulate much more arsenic than most other crops. So silicon is really a helpful element for the rice. It has a host of abiotic and biotic stresses that it helps alleviate. Some of these we understand mechanistically, but others we know that it increases yield, increases resistance to lodging. And because of this shared transport pathway with arsenite, increased silicon has been shown to decrease rice uptake of arsenite and some of the methylated forms. So there's really no reason not to add more silicon to your rice system. It has plenty of useful, beneficial aspects from a non-arsenic point of view, and from an arsenic point of view, it's very helpful. So the question is, how do we get the silicon into the rice? So we wanted to perform a field trial to test some different silicon-rich amendments. In our field trial, we have a control with this unamended soil, and we have a calcium silicate source of silicon, which would be sort of analogous to a fertilizer. This is not entirely available to folks, particularly in developing countries, and some of the sources of silicates would be slags from various industrial sources, and these are known to contain quite a bit of heavy metal contamination. So some alternative sources of silicon would be reincorporation of the rice husk itself, so the outer part of the rice grain that's not edible. And you can see that the rice husk is pretty heavily concentrated in silicon at around 11% silicon by dry weight. You can also do some charring of the rice husk that reduces the amount of carbon and concentrates the silicon, so your silicon's up to about 35%. And so we amended our rice patties with the 5 milligrams per hectare of silicon from these different sources. And we grew the plants up to maturity and harvested the various plant parts. You can see we looked at quite a number of different plant parts and looked at the elemental distribution in all of these plant parts. We also monitored pore water chemistry using rhizon samplers. And I just wanted to show you a couple elements of interest. On the left is pore water silicon. And you can see there's no statistical change or difference between our silicon-rich treatments. You generally see a decrease in pore water silicon over time as the plants are extracting the silicon from the pore water. The arsenic is also not statistically different among treatments. And as we go through the season and the redox begins to lower, you see more arsenic available to the plant. We also wanted to measure methane emissions. So a couple of these amendments have some carbon to them. And so you don't want to recommend an amendment that might help out with our arsenic problem but might increase our global warming potential. And so in this case, on the left graph, you can see the methane flux out of our rice paddies measured weekly. And only the husk amendment specifically increased the methane flux. Importantly, this is less than another plant-based amendment, which would be rice straw, which is sometimes re-amended in the patties. You'd expect rice straw to be about half an order of magnitude higher methane emissions than we observe for husk. CO2 fluxes are not a concern in rice patties. Another piece of the arsenic puzzle is we looked at the iron-rich root plaques. And so because this is reduced pore water, there's ferrous iron. It hits the roots, which have some radial oxygen loss to help detoxify these reduced metals. The iron precipitates out, uses iron oxides on the outside of the roots. The iron oxide, as we mentioned earlier, is a sorbent for arsenic. But the mineralogy or the mineral composition of the iron plaques affect its potential to sorb arsenic. And what we found was that as we added silicon to our treatment on the right three bars, we saw higher amounts of ferrihydrite in the root plaque. And ferrihydrite is this more amorphous form of iron that has higher sorption capacity for arsenic. And so this seems promising. But when we looked at the actual elemental composition of our iron root plaques, we did not see a significant increase in arsenic in the root iron plaque, as evidenced by the last row there, despite seeing higher concentrations of silicon. But what about the plant parts? So on these bars here, you can see we've got different colors for each of the different plant parts. And this is for silicon on the y-axis. And this is in grams per kilogram, which gives me an idea of how much silicon these plants are really taking up. If you compare the right three sets of bars to the left bar set of bars, you can see a slight increase in some of the different plant parts, such as the ripe flag leaf and the husk. It's a little tricky because you have so many different plant parts we're looking at. And so we reduce the dimensionality of the problem by doing a principal component analysis. And so in the principal component analysis, this first principal component, these are the eigenvectors. And you can see that most of our loadings are positive and they're fairly similar. And so you can treat this first principal component as really an average of silicon in the plant. And ANOVA on the first principal component shows that the average silicon in our char silicated husk treatments is significantly higher than in the control, with the char showing the greatest increase in plant silicon. If we look at the same set of bars for arsenic, you can see slight decreases, particularly in nodes 1 and 2, as far as plant arsenic is concerned, and that's really where most of the arsenic is in the plant. As far as concentrations are concerned. But many of these differences are not significant. And so at this point, it's a little bit easier to reduce the dimensionality again by doing our principal component analysis. And here, this principal component is a little more weighted towards the node 1 and 2 and the various plant parts where most of the arsenic is. But we still interpret it as an average of the arsenic in the plant. And here you see that on the right, the bars for our silicon-rich treatments tend to be lower than the bar for the control, although only the char is significantly lower, indicating that the silicon is having some effect on reducing the amount of arsenic in our plants. Now, importantly, what's happening in the grain, the part that we eat? So here on the left, I'm showing you the speciation data. Everything up to this was all total arsenic. Here we've separated out the inorganic arsenic and the organic arsenic in the bran. So the bran is the brown part of the rice. And so you can see right away that most of the arsenic in the bran is the darker red, which is the inorganic arsenic, while a smaller amount is the organic arsenic. If you look at the letters, you can see there's no significant decrease or change from the control, but you do see slight declines in the ash silicate husk, and these are on the order of 10 to 20% decreases in inorganic arsenic. The organic arsenic is relatively unchanged and even slightly increased. If we look at our polished grain, so when we do the polishing process, we remove the bran, we have just the white rice, and you can see right away that we have a more balanced amount of inorganic to organic arsenic in the polished grain. You can also see, if you look at the y-axis, that there's quite a bit less arsenic in the polished grain, about 0.2 ppm, relative to what was in the bran. So if you're eating brown rice, you're obviously exposed to much higher concentrations of arsenic than if you're eating white rice. Furthermore, you can see that on the right graph, the inorganic arsenic, similar to in the bran, is slightly decreased, although not significantly, in the ash silicate husk treatment. Interestingly, the organic arsenic in our silicon-rich treatment is either unchanged or significantly increased. And so if you look at the total, adding those two together, there's really not much change in the total arsenic in our polished grain. Instead, we're shifting speciation from inorganic arsenic over towards organic arsenic. And this is something that's been reported in several field studies, and so we've done some work to try to understand why this is happening. And one of the concerns was maybe that the silicon is affecting the plant transport and uptake of organic arsenic, and which doesn't seem to be enhancing the plant uptake of organic arsenic. It seems to be limiting organic arsenic. And so what we think is happening is something in the soil. And so there's two hypotheses out in the literature. The one that we tend to think is actually occurring is this hypothesis one, where the silicon is desorbing the arsenite from soil solids, increasing a local availability of arsenite to the arsenic methylated microbes, thereby increasing the amount of DMA that the plant can uptake. An alternative explanation may be that the DMA is being desorbed directly by from the silicon, thereby enhancing the amount of DMA the plant sees. But regardless, the conclusion really here is that we're not really changing total arsenic, but we're at least changing the fraction that in the grain that is toxic. And so you're reducing the amount of inorganic arsenic and increasing the amount of organic arsenic. And that's beneficial to rice consumers. So I just want to thank some folks that funded our lab and some folks in the lab that have helped out with a lot of the field work. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
Your time for questions, please.
Yeah.
What rice variety do you use for testing for arsenic?
Yeah, what rice variety did we choose? And so this is from Arkansas. This is Lamont, which is back in the 80s it was pretty predominant, and now it's become sort of parental of many other rice varieties that are used in Arkansas. But it's a long grain rice. We've tried some in pot studies. In the literature, there's we're working on a meta-analysis, which will hopefully be out pretty soon on this sort of problem. And there's about 24 different varieties that we can find data on. And there's not really much evidence that it's a varietal effect, although it's hard to say when you have so many other factors.
But when we did our hybrid test,
Mm-hmm.
If you have more arsenic in the bran, in the polished grain, but if you have thicker seeds, like a small short grain variety, would that also have high arsenic content? Do you have more grain, the size of the grain?
Yes, does the size of the grain or the shape of the grain affect the arsenic content? It's not something I've thought about very much, but that's an interesting idea. Yeah, I know there's arsenic in plenty of rice grains, but
thank you. We'll hold other questions for the break. Thank you.